fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm here for one more day with my wife, Debbie, who's been talking this week about some really important themes about how we are called to both be and to do, both Mary and Martha. And it applies to each one of our lives. And it's been a great week. And if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them in whatever device you have so you can listen to them at your leisure. Welcome back, Deb.
Thanks. It's good to be here. I was just reflecting on the fact that this is being aired over Thanksgiving weekend. And I know for me, Thanksgiving and Christmas prep are such a busy time for women, and feeling like they need to be doing so much stuff, it's exhausting that it's actually can feel hard to enter into the season of Advent. And so I want to just encourage the women who are probably recovering from cooking a big meal and all that to really take this to heart, even in the midst of all the preparation you have to still do for Christmas, to really practice the being and not just the doing.
And husbands, fight for that time so you can support your wife.
Absolutely.
And getting the time she needs to have quality time with the Lord in prayer. So, okay, so we ended yesterday. We talked quite a bit about obedience. Let's put this in a context maybe for people, Deb, who are just tuning in now for the first time. There are two fundamental things you talked about, it being able to understand the being part of us, that is who we are in Christ and how to receive from the Lord. And then the last few days you've been talking about habits of helping dispose us to the Lord's grace more.
Yes. So kind of touching on some of those habits of prayer and persevering in prayer and really an attitude of trust toward the Lord, virtue of humility, and then yesterday talking about obedience a lot. And so I think the kind of last big quality I want to talk about, which I think is challenging for all of us, is really learning how to live in the present moment. And when you think about it, this is all we have. Like right now, we're sitting in studio and I'm trying to just be present to you and to the Lord and to what God's asking us to do, even though there's a lot of background noise in my head about all the things I need to get done today or this week or different kids that I'm thinking about or praying for. But just to be in the present moment is so important. When we have regrets, when we live in the past or we worry about the future, what it does is it really cuts us off from God's work in our lives right now. We can't change the past and we can't program the future. All we have is the present right now. Jesus kind of gives us a sense of that when he says, I am with you always. That's the eternal present for us. Then every moment, whatever it brings, can be filled with his presence because he's with us always in all things. So I think that's important. The best way for us to prepare for the future is to put our hearts fully into the present.
Which isn't so easy to do. So what do you do to try to create the habit of living in the present moment?
Good question. I love this quote by Elizabeth Elliot, who was a very wonderful Protestant author. She said, wherever you are, be all there. And I can honestly, I'm really working at that. And it means not being distracted by something else I need to do or somewhere else I need to go, but to give all my attention and my heart to the person or the task right in front of me. People said who met Mother Teresa, and I was able to meet her myself, said when you were with her, you felt like you were the most important person in the world because she had this ability to give you her full attention, her full self. And that's something that I really, really work on in very small ways. When I'm with people, and particularly in the ministry I'm doing, I'm always trying to make sure I know the person's name who I'm talking to because people feel so loved and so remembered when you actually know who they are. I think it's looking people in the eyes when you're speaking to them. It's putting our phones aside and not kind of checking our phones when we're involved in conversation. I think it's stop feeling like, even though we are sometimes, that we're in a hurry. It's living with enough margins in our lives so that we're not constantly running from one thing to the next, which I can do a lot of, which means I'm usually late for a lot of things because things are back to back to back, but leave enough margins. So if you run into someone and they say, hey, do you have a minute to talk? I can really give them my full time and my full attention. Being in a hurry makes us tired. It makes us frenzied. It makes us worn out. Honestly, we always think, if I only had more time, if I only had more time. And I feel like we don't need more time. We just need to slow time down by by giving it the weight that it deserves, by being fully present to whatever we're doing. It takes a lot of discipline, but those are just some practical ways that I try and do that, to really push aside distractions and really kind of focus on the person who's right in front of me.
Oh, that's good. The Mother Teresa story that you've often told of having met her, she's looking at you, she's got this huge meeting that she's a part of, but she pulls mothers with little babies together in a little room and one by one looks you in the eye and says, you're doing the most important thing in the whole wide world, mm-hmm. being a mother and yeah. being with your child. And you came out of that kind of glowing after a difficult week. We were in Germany. Our son Michael, who was with us, infant, was very sick. It was difficult. You had to spend a lot of time in the hotel room just caring for him. And it was a very different kind of event than we had planned. So it was stressful and difficult. But it's really something when we encounter people, not just big saints like Mother Teresa, but just ordinary people who really are present to us. It's kind of striking sometimes when a person's eyes, you can see, wow, they're actually dialed into me. They're not somewhere else right now. They don't have 50 things going through their head. And they're just kind of waiting for me to get done with what I'm saying so they can get on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. That's a gift. That's a powerful gift.
It is. It's a gift you have to cultivate, I think, because it's easy to be listening to someone with in the back of your head, like, when are they going to stop talking so I can say what I want to say or get on with it? But just to say, no, I'm just letting go of all that. And I'm really trying to, as Mother Teresa said, I'm trying to be Christ to this person, and I'm trying to see Christ in this person. And so I want to give them my full attention, just be fully present to that. And I think, honestly, it's harder to do this with the people we're closest to. And Mother Teresa actually said that when she was engaged with some businessmen who were talking to her and said, Mother Teresa, what's the solution to all the world's problems? Like, tell us. And she looked at them and she said, go home and love your families. So she knew that sometimes the hardest people to love in that way, to be in the moment, present moment with, were the people who lived right under our roof. But that's where I think the rubber meets the road. And so I think that's where we really need to start with that. I remember a time when my son Michael was maybe 7 or 8, and he was working on some homework. I think, Peter, you were out of the country, and I was doing dishes in the kitchen, and he was struggling just to kind of finish up, and he really wanted to be outside playing with the other kids. And I just felt like the Lord said, move away from the sink, walk away from all the things you need to accomplish before the kids go to bed, and just sit with Michael, because he needs you to be present to him right now. He needs your presence. So I just walked over to the counter and I sat next to him while he did his homework, and he got it done in 10 minutes, and then he was free to go outside and to play. But I think sometimes we put more of ourselves into everything that needs to get done than the people who are there.
It's true, because there's a tension. I feel good if I've accomplished my to-do mm-hmm. list. It's not always these things are absolutely crucial and they all have to get done. Mm-hmm. It's I don't feel good about myself if I haven't checked everything off on the day. And so it's back to I find my identity in doing, and that enslaves me from being free to be. That's part of that tension. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that's exactly it. That's what kind of drives us toward the other, like checking off the things on our to-do list for the day and saying, it's okay if it doesn't all get all done. The most important thing is that this person right now feels loved in front of me, that I'm able to communicate and give that. And that's a constant recalibrating every day of remembering what is the most important thing. And in the end, when we stand before the Lord with nothing, not our accomplishments, our achievements, our clean houses, our cute outfit, the books we've written, we'll be judged on one thing, and that's love. So I really try and keep that before me, that that's really, for me, what it means to be in the present, is to be present to those that I'm with so that I can really love them in the way God's calling me to love them.
And that presence is a way of valuing the person, isn't it? That's mm-hmm. part of it. We say, what is love? From the Christian perspective, it's willing the good of the other as other. It's to say, you're valuable. You're worth listening to. Christ died for you. God's paying attention to you. God's paying attention mm-hmm. to you. And who am I to say, I'm too busy. I can't take this moment that's right in front of me. I can't even give you my attention because either I'm too important or I'm too busy or I'm thinking about myself too much. To be freed from that self-focus, that self-concern, that anxiety. It's exactly where people want to go, but we're afraid to go there. We're mm-hmm. afraid to let go of the self-preoccupation because of our own weaknesses that we're battling with. To let that go, we really want to step into freedom, to be able to say, yeah, I'd love it when those moments happen where I just forgotten about myself I'm actually just dialed into this person and just loving them peacefully. And
yeah. This is something we're trying to teach the young women who come to our events. We actually do really practical hands-on things with them, like how do you engage with that person who's standing all by themselves, who doesn't have a friend here at this event, and you're with your friends. Practically, this is how we're going to teach you how to go out and actually pull that person in so they feel loved and wanted and accepted. When we get together, the first thing we have the girls do is stack their cell phones on a table in a little tower so they can leave behind those distractions and be fully present to one another. Just in your posture, how do you open yourself up to receive more people in the circle that you create? All those really practical things, remembering people's names, remembering things that people tell you about themselves so you can go back and talk about that with them. Very, very small things, but they make such a huge difference.
And I was just thinking, when you're in a conversation with somebody, you're just beginning a conversation and your thoughts have been largely on yourself, it's possible after a minute of someone speaking to you, you're not even sure what they just said. Why? Because you're thinking about yourself, you're thinking about something else other than this person. I think it's cool to just say, in a moment like that, say, excuse me, just for a minute, could you repeat what you just said? I've been kind of thinking about myself and all the things I'm supposed to do today, and I actually missed what you said. I really want to hear what you're saying. Could you say that again? I think it's worth doing. And
yeah.
Of course, it's embarrassing to say something like that, but it's good for our pride.
It is.
To do that.
Yeah, we talked to the girls a lot about, let's just accept the awkward, okay? That was really awkward.
Yeah.
You didn't remember what that person said, or you don't even know their name, but let's just call it out and say, that was really awkward, but I really do want to get to know you. I want to know who you are. I've had girls come to me years after Pine Hills and say, I remember that one day at Pine Hills when you said goodnight to me and you knew my name and you gave me this huge hug. And that meant so much to me that I was known that personally out of 200 or 300 girls. And so that takes work to do, but it's just so worth it and so valuable to
wow.
do that.
We just have about a minute and a half left. Do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to give to the
week? Yeah, I think my summary or my thoughts or the truth that I really want to drill into myself and other women is to remember that the most important thing in our lives is not so much what we can do as leaving room for what God can do, learning to really let God act in us and through us, and that the person that God loves with the tenderness of a father, the person he wants to touch and transform with his life, is not the person we wish we were or think we should be. God doesn't love ideal people. He loves actual, real people. And we can just rest in that assurance that when God looks at each one of us, he says, you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. And so I want to just encourage all of us to really let the Lord look at us. Because in the end, his gaze, his approval, his acceptance, his love is all that will matter. I had a realization a few months ago that I will never be Mother Teresa. But I felt like, why would I want to be a second-rate version of someone else when I can be a first-rate version of myself? St. Catherine of Siena said, be who you were created to be and you will set the world on fire.
No, that's good. It's very good. Thanks for being here, Deb, this week. I like you just who you are. I love you just as you are, right?
Thanks.
And friends, God the Father loves each and every one of us uniquely. He made us precisely who we are, and that's who we're called to be. Let's embrace all that the Father has for us. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.